Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind podcast. I am your host, Tim Lanning. And joining me is the wrath of Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone. I'm so mad.
You're so angry.
I'm mad just like the lamb. The wrath of the lamb.
That damn lamb is angry.
It's pissed off. Mm-hmm. It's wreaking havoc on the earth in these chapters.
This is, oh boy, we got everything we wanted. This is the final episode for Nikolai, book 3, chapters 18 and 19, and a paragraph epilogue, maybe two sentences. I forget.
Yeah, it's like it's a chunk of Bible verses. So
goddamn, this is a I was like, all right, don't say we're so back challenge, you know, because we've now entered a new, like, it is.
We've been back.
We've
been back because shit is happening, but shit is really happening.
But
now
we're entering into, it's like a progression fantasy in a weird way.
Oh, wow, that's so true.
Because the magic gets bigger and better and more bombastic. Like, we were talking about an earthquake and everyone was scared of the earthquake, and they're like, that's not enough.
No, it needs to be more insane.
It needs to be more insane.
More insane. Yeah, like, we're definitely getting to the, like, post-apocalyptic zone. Mm-hmm. Like, things are not going to be able to be normal anymore in the world. Like,
oh, my God, yeah. We talked about, like, critiquing slash not critiquing the vibe of, like, how they covered the war. Because at some points it made sense. It was confusing. And then other times it's like, are you really going to get more out to be like, there's devastation, da-da-da-da-da. This one, I think it's the exact same thing, right? It's like, the what they show you is just like almost mind-bogglingly bad.
Yes.
And yet, it still sort of feels like it's not enough, which is silly to critique about it because usually the next book starts.
Right.
With what the fuck, what the fuck. And if you're listening, basically, yes, we did get the big earthquake.
We got big earthquake.
And during the big earthquake, there's a big ass meteor shower.
Meteor shower, the sun turned red, and it was dark.
Goddamn.
Which now I have some experience with what that is like since I've seen a full eclipse before.
Yeah, before when I read this, I was like, I don't get it. And then now as an eclipse enjoyer, I'm like, I get it now. These are the best chapters. Well, the final chapter is the best chapter ever in the book.
It's pretty good.
It's like such a book now.
It is. Well, and also I was about to be like, well, it didn't have enough weird conspiracy theory, like, you know, right wing stuff. And it's like, nope. They had that too, actually. We'll get to that also. And obviously a big old abortion talk. These chapters really have it all.
Saturday Night Live, Stefan voice. These chapters have it all. Abortion, radical religion, secret bunkers.
Yeah, secret police.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, as the books go on, I have to assume we will exit the We Are So Back zone and enter the, like, this is a weird place to be back to.
Yeah.
But I just think it keeps getting crazier and crazier, and they probably just have to, like, exist with it. But, like, I just remember, like, things just keep happening that are so obviously God is fucking with the earth, right. And they have to be like, ah, well, bah, bah, what is this?
Well, I assume it becomes that, because, you know, if you're in the position of these books where, like, obviously this God stuff is happening, and the people out there that are still like, no. I guess it's like the whole, like, Exodus story of, like, the Lord hardened the Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah.
Like, their hearts have been hardened. They can't acknowledge that a worldwide earthquake is maybe an act of God.
Wait
in this
a second.
World.
Are you saying that those Pharaohs had no free will? I saw someone tweet or say or tweet at us or tweet at somebody else. I don't remember which. It's all a blur. I have gout. So
Tim's got gout right now. So you've got to be nice to him.
We're actually not sure it's gout, but we're pretty sure.
It seems like gout so much
that I'm like, did I have gout before? Did my gout break a bone in my body?
I was thinking about that too, Tim. I was thinking about that.
Because I have a bone spur?
Yeah.
That would give you big ass toe knuckles.
Yeah. Maybe it was a gout spur.
And then I have, And then I have a broken sesamoid.
Yeah.
I have a broken bone in there. But that is a fact.
But maybe the gout did it.
Maybe the gout did it.
And I think it's very cool of you to get gout.
in 2024. As a 37-year-old that doesn't really technically eat all that bad. Like
I kind of thought only like Henry VIII thought that, you know.
Like, but I saved my quote unquote calories and vices for beer and cookies, and I'm not gonna lie, I can go hard on both.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense.
But you don't go nearly as hard as you used to.
No.
Maybe it's been collecting in your system.
Yeah, I'm not yurking enough. What was I saying? Yes. Someone was like, someone said Jesus was the original wizard. And I'm like, read the damn Bible, because it literally says that Pharaoh had wizards.
Oh, that's true.
They kept doing weird shit. I love that story in the Bible, because it's like, as a kid, being like, are we just not going to talk about this?
Yeah, but the wizards are actually able to do magic.
They're actually able to do magic.
And now that I am older and I've, you know, consume more media and learn more things, it's like, yeah, back in the day, the king always had a fucking wizard, mm-hmm. or like an astrologer, mm-hmm. or like something.
Alchemist.
There's always some magic dudes around the king.
Yeah.
So, Jesus was not the first wizard.
Even for the Bible. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. There's more. Sorry about it.
I'm excited. I think that we should just get right into chapter 18.
So I think that the thing we had left off with previously, that Buck was finally publishing his big Wrath of the Lamb cover story, and it is the big news of the day. Everyone is talking about it.
Absolutely. You know, it seems to imply that the Jay Lenos of the world and so forth.
Yes, yes.
TikTok didn't exist yet, but there'd be like parody dances of being the lamb and things like that.
And specifically, the book says, one comedy featured an animated short of a woolly lamb going on a rampage. That made me laugh because I was like, maybe it's old South Park. And then I had to go look up, like, when did South Park come out, like, start? And Tim.
What?
They both, this book and South Park, 1997.
Wow.
So theoretically, this could have been made fun of.
Coincidence?
On South Park.
I think not. It's really fun just to think about, like, if you lived in this world, what it'd look like. And then if you lived in our world, mm-hmm. what it'd look like. And yeah, it's just, you can get no deeper into the sludge than like sort of like just right wing QAnon TikTok type shit.
Oh God.
Just like,
yeah. Terrifying.
But again, like in this instance, I think legally they would have to be on the side of Nikolai, right? Cause it's like how the brain poisoning works, because
everyone in this world, because in this world, it's the evangelical right wingers who are actually the true and the faithful who are being logical,
right.
And everyone else is being crazy. Well, we know that's not what's happening.
Let's go back to our conversation many, many episodes ago, where I tried to explain to you the different versions of the world. We have our world,
mm-hmm.
we have left behind world, mm-hmm. and then we have a couple more. But then we have a version that's left behind world that is our world.
Like it's in our continuity. Mm-hmm.
And it's like more left behind than us. And then there's our world, which is more our world with a little bit more left behind. And that means like that goes to your point of the Christians wouldn't get raptured because they're bad.
Yes.
And then we get brought down. There probably wouldn't be a rapture.
There's some logical issues throughout all of this.
But throughout all of this, like, even right now, there's just the popular media, which again is owned by Nikolai, but it seems like there's very much a hardened Pharaoh heart situation going on the whole world.
I mean, it makes sense that if the media is owned by Nikolai, that he would be making fun of this. Be like, look how stupid they're being. These silly billies saying this.
Yeah, like, get a TikTok. Okay.
But, there was a thing that was in this chapter also that I'm so excited to see how it came across in your book.
Okay.
But I want them.
They had a lot of weird, like, old ass technology in mind.
When are they? they going to reboot Left Behind so that TikToks do exist?
We have to do it.
It needs to happen. Oh, my God.
I wanted to see this.
Oh, my God.
On this big screen so bad. But the again, going back to how terrible our world is, even our white wing grifters can't get it together. Because, like, do you really think those motherfuckers, Kevin Sorbo and all those shitheads, are going to be able to make several Left Behind movies they made? We got to watch the one they made because it looks terrible.
It does look really bad.
And, like, not even based on the book.
I mean, he loves making weird Christian movies. Yeah, so.
But I think that's kind of what we want, is that's an updated Left Behind. And I do want to get to the – I want them to do it. I don't want to give them money, and I don't want them to make money. But still, if they're going to be around, they might as well please us.
I do look forward to observing the inevitable crowdfund campaign they're going to do to try to make it and how bad it's going to be when they do it.
Yeah. For a second, I thought you said we would do it. And I'm like, yes, it would be so bad. We would fuck it up. We would get in lots of trouble.
Yeah. No. Thank you. I don't need any part of that.
It's like a very apologetic video where we explain giving
this
all
of
our –
this is a joke.
It's a joke. But yes, we did give all of our money to Ben Shapiro, Kevin Sorbo, and Gina Carano. That's a bit.
You know what? I was about to say something that I think would get me put on a list, so I'm going to not say it.
Global community morale police.
Yeah, the morale police would be after me for sure. Let's just say I think there's some ways to get a lot of distasteful people in one location.
Okay.
And then what happens? All right.
King Ralph, a King Ralph situation. I like it.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Is that from The Simpsons?
It's from the hit film King Ralph.
What? Yep. I've never heard of this movie.
Let's move on.
So Buck, he's very happy that his article has, made such an impact on everyone. But then he gets a little sad because he's like, man, soon I'm going to have to be in hiding. And I'm not going to be able to have such a big reach as the Global Weekly. Because, he's starting to be more reckless. And he knows his time is short in his current role.
It's definitely a bummer opening, bittersweet of like, it's fucking, everyone loves it. The story, but now we're getting to the point where, like, fuck. All this media is controlled. Am I doing any truth? Truth. Should I be doing more? Should I be doing less? Yada, yada, yada. And I was surprised how soon he's like, I might have to quit tomorrow and hide in a damn hole.
I mean, we will see in these chapters that, like, yes, the trap is starting to kind of close on our dear tribulation force. Meanwhile, Rayford, so remember that Rayford is picking up Megapope Matthews with Carpathia on the plane. They're going back to New Babylon. And while Megapope is getting on the plane, I've decided just to call him like the Super Pope or the Megapope, because I don't remember what his actual title is. Like, it's something real stupid and long. I'm not going to remember.
Yeah.
It's like Pontifex Maximus.
Then a few extra made up words because it's a fake religion.
It's a fake religion. Yes, I'm not saying all that. But Rayford's kind of overhearing them chatting as they're getting on the plane. This is not him doing his eavesdropping.
Right.
Yeah, this is literally just him like hearing them. And Carpathia says,
"How good of you to allow us to come and collect you, Pontiff. I'm hoping we can have a meaningful dialogue profitable to the good of the global community."
And then the Super Pope says back, "As long as it's profitable to the one world faith, I don't much care whether you benefit or not." I don't think this guy knows who he's talking to.
Yeah, this is like the most ridiculous character in these books somehow.
He's real stupid and
he's
annoying.
He rocks. He's like the perfect version of what they're looking for.
That is true.
Like a evil Catholic, greedy guy.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care. I don't actually have any morals or like standards. Like, I just want what I want.
Yeah, because he switches even like later, like right around here, skipping ahead a little couple of bullet points, but like Nikolai even calls him out and like, you were Catholic like 2 years ago.
Like,
what the hell are you talking about?
Dude? He's like, I didn't, that was the old me.
Yeah.
I'm different now. I do think it's really interesting, and I mean, maybe we've talked about this before, but again, just want to like bring it to the top of folks' thoughts that evangelicals think that the Catholic Church is evil and like satanic, essentially. So the Pope, the mega Pope in this world, being in charge of this like evil one world religion is just like, yes, this is literally like what these people
and
think.
And let's go even confusingly-er is that the old Pope did get raptured.
Right, because he was doing weird shit. He was doing...
Oh, that's right. He was progressive.
He was like... not progressive.
Breaking from dogma.
He was breaking from Catholic Church dogma, and then he got snatched up. Gotcha. So before it could get, like, too far.
He's like, fuck, I'm a Baptist.
Because it was, like, a pretty new... I think he was, like, a pretty new Pope.
He's the new Pope.
He was the new Pope. Exactly. Much... Well, actually, maybe equally as right-wing as the new Pope. The young Pope from the show.
I don't remember anymore.
He was definitely not as progressive as I would have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Shit is going down with Carpathia and the Super Pope. We'll get back to that in a minute. But meanwhile, now we're with Buck, who, because remember that Hattie was like, I'm going to be in town for a little bit, like at the airport. If you want to, like, you can come get me and have a lunch. So that is happening now. They're having an awkward lunch with Hattie, and it's Buck, Loretta, Chloe, and Amanda there. And again, God, the way that the book talks about Hattie. Buck has this inner monologue. He, like most other men, usually saw her only as striking. Now, the kindest term he can think of for her was disheveled. It's like, she's normally hot, but she looks like shit now.
She has no value to me.
And they also talk about how she has a full purse full of Kleenexes that she's used for crying.
I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
They just need, like, come on, guy. Just give Chloe a POV, you dum-dum.
Yes, like, and there's even a part in this where Book is literally like, I am being very male and unsympathetic to Hattie right now.
Throughout this is, a kind of wild and weird framing. Yes. Like, it makes me so fucking mad, because if Christians were like the Christians in this book, the world would be it would be a better place.
It
legally.
Would be better, like literally, like as in like improved from the way it currently is.
Yeah, yeah. Then they should be raptured.
Not like awesome, right? But it'd be improved.
But like the way they're talking about the abortion stuff, and the way that like Buck realizes that he's in the wrong for his reactions.
Yes.
It's really interesting that they took the time to be like, hey, we're two fucking evil dudes writing these books. We don't know what these bitches get up to, but we know we get yelled at if we do it wrong.
Yes.
So we do know there's something going on here. I just thought it was like really interesting the way Buck completely acknowledged he was out of his element. And
like, I'm going to let the girls take care of this.
And he didn't deflect at all onto them, like, oh my god, stop thinking with your fucking periods.
No, it was more like he was like, I don't understand how girl brains work. Yeah. You're gonna have to deal with this one.
Yeah.
And even, like, again, like, the way that Buck thinks about, the way that all, well, we only get male viewpoints in these books so far, and the way that men think about Hattie, so they pray before the meal happens, and Buck notices that Hattie, when they're praying, she folds her hands under her chin while she prays like a little girl.
Yeah.
So it's like, just again, the like infantilization of Hattie, like the weird, like she's stupid, like she's a baby, she's got a baby brain, even though she's got a baby in her.
Mm-hmm. A demon.
Just, yeah, which we'll also talk about at some point.
I had to Google how far away Milwaukee is from Chicago. It's like 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they are in the. Well, they go pick her up in a car.
That is pretty far, actually.
Yeah.
Wait, they say they drive to Milwaukee, then 2 hours back to Loretta's, and then back?
Yeah. It's entirely possible, because they live in the suburbs.
Maybe it's closer.
Yeah, maybe cut an hour, but still.
But, like, why would you, like, put that information in there? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, because I think the Chicago airport's blown up.
It is blown up, yes. But, like, why not just be like, we met...
And they're obsessed with airports and airplanes?
They should be like, we met at the Chick-fil-A, like, to eat lunch.
Praise be.
Did Chick-fil-A exist? I don't know.
Yeah, just have like, oh, Fortunato was on my ass, so I went to a small puddle jumper.
Yes, they should have just made up a fucking, like, little airport.
And then we could have brought in our best friend, the pilot, I forget his name right now.
Ken Ritz! Yeah, what's he doing right now?
Something cool.
The group then is, like, kind of, like, just waiting for Hattie to, like, bring up why she wants to talk.
Because, like, they do this thing, which I think is really weird. I don't know if this happens in the real world, but it definitely happens in these books, where they don't talk during their meal, and then as soon as they get done eating, it is time to talk. I'm like, what? Every dinner I go to, we are talking and laughing during the whole meal.
Not these Christians.
But they didn't really know what Hattie wanted, because again, Rayford said his piece to her, so it's not necessarily the goal for them to all jump down her throat, but obviously she drove the 15 hours from Milwaukee to Chicago during her layover in order to have this lunch, have this chat. So she has to be open to some extent, but really, you know, even Buck clocks this, that it must be a situation where Hattie did not get whatever she wanted from her parents, from her family.
And maybe Hattie doesn't even really know what she's looking for either.
Which is fine. You know, I think this is a – I think no one has ever gone through what Hattie has gone through.
I don't think anyone in this world is pregnant with the Antichrist embryo or fetus or whatever it is at this point. I don't know how far along she is.
It's a baby.
It's a baby. The baby Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Little Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So – Hattie explained, she's like, yeah, I guess I'm here to hear, like, the other side. My family was totally cool with me getting the abortion and, like, tried to talk me into it. But she also says, Rayford already gave me the standard right-wing pro-life position. I don't guess I need to hear that again. So that does kind of like, well that's kind of my position, so I don't know what to tell you.
And then they kind of switch to, like, something that I thought they must have, you know, the authors must have asked a woman, stop stepping on me, Kat.
He's trying to hurt your gout.
He was literally stepping on my gout foot. The authors must have talked to a woman to be like, how the fuck would you guys do this? And they'd be like, so the goal is just basically just love on Hattie,
just to love on her. Have we talked about that phrase before?
I believe we have.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Like, there's just certain evangelical trigger phrases that make my eyes go fully black and I get really angry.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. 'Cause I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're not loving on anyone. You're manipulating people.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing comes down to, like, Hattie feels like you guys would hate me if I got the abortion, but, like, I don't really want to be the brood hog of the Antichrist,
the Antichrist
and things of that nature. And like, Nikolai's kind of like a dick behind closed doors.
I just feel like you would think this might be the one situation that a Christian would be like, okay, you can do an abortion in this case.
Yeah, yeah, like popping around a little bit, like – Buck talks about the option of adopting the baby. He's like, I'm not going to fucking do
that. I don't want that fucking Antichrist
baby. Kill that baby. And it was like such a funny, like, you have to take it. You have to, you,
I don't want
sin,
it.
And I ain't doing shit about that. Good fucking luck. Throw that baby in a damn volcano. No thanks.
Yeah. So Chloe takes the tack of just trying to connect with Hattie, and she says something that I thought was really interesting, mm-hmm. and I think she's being sincere here from what we've seen. But she says that she's always admired Hattie and thinks that they could be friends in a different situation, which I think is like, that seems true to me from what we've seen.
I think the quick smell test is like, what different situation? Like, oh, she lives halfway across the planet. Yada, yada, yada.
I was thinking more like if she hadn't tried to hit on my dad
stuff. That's a pretty big deal. Yeah. I mean, we can all grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chloe then brings up, like, hey, you know, like, the fact that you did actually want to come here and talk to us, like, maybe you want to hear something different from us.
Yeah.
Which, fair. Sure enough.
Sure, sure. It's, again, a confusing situation. Even as a radical pro, sometimes I get confused because, like, I don't want people to die, so I'm pro-life, but
I don't know what that means, though.
As a radical pro, people should be allowed to get abortions and
that's pro-choice. That's pro-choice.
Yeah, it's pro-choice. I am sort of in the situation of like, you mean, yeah, you do need to hear, in this instance, both sides of everything, yeah?
Because I think there's definitely a, you know, conception that people who are pro-choice are pro-abortion, and it's like, well, I mean, number one, I hate that rhetoric in general because it's like, well, I am pro people getting abortion if that's what they want. But it is. We live in a fucked up world.
I don't like kids. Get them out of here.
But we live in a fucked up world where people probably do get abortions sometimes that do not want – that would not have them if the world was better. So, like, in a better world, you know, people would just be supported regardless of what their choice was. But that's not what they're –
No.
That's not what they're talking
about. We can't even get – close to that argument standpoint because we're nowhere near there.
Yeah. So she then says, let me just tell you, Hattie, if it's love you're looking for, you came to the right place. And then Hattie has the comeback that I was thinking of.
Yeah, Hattie said, love, if I buy into everything you have to sell.
Tell them, Hattie, it's true. Because that is the thing. Like, yeah, they're being nice right now, but let's be real. They're love bombing her for mm-hmm. the Lord. You know, because they want her to not do the abortion. And they even later, Rayford like makes some little comment about Amanda having an ulterior motive of trying to slow her down so that she wouldn't like go to a place to get the abortion.
Exactly.
So like, please don't act like you don't have ulterior motives, because you obviously do. Like, I get that they, I guess in the world where the rapture actually happened, they just don't want her to go to hell, but they also are.
I also don't think the Bible cares about abortion.
No, but like, and in fact, in the Old Testament, they like literally talk about like doing abortions.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's like a thing.
What if the Bible just like, straight up told you how to get abortion. Like, go find
it. Well, it talks about women, like, who have, like, cheated, like, done adultery, like, drinking, like, a fucked up poison water at some point. So, like, that is a thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly where it's from, but trust me, it's there.
Yeah. And I did like that Chloe and all of them was like, no, we're still gonna love you no matter what you choose. And this is the way that, like, it just feels so dumb to be like, God, I remember when Christians were at least tried to be nice.
Where yeah, like, thing, honestly, like, they really are not even trying anymore. They don't, that's what it feels like. Yeah, that's what it feels like to me.
They are the least judgmental Christians, like, ever. Of like, hey, they just kind of skirt around it. They don't be like, yeah, if you make this huge, terrible, sinful choice. No, they're like, we don't agree with it.
Yep.
You know that. It's your right to choose. Yep. Oddly enough, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
But if you choose what we don't agree with, we're still going to be there for you. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. It's a wild way to write it. But I'm really curious what, the right wing thought about it at the time. But again, like, everything changes. Like, a lot of things have gotten more conservative.
But I think this is all just part of the weird propaganda, because it's heady. It's like, there's no way you could possibly love me unconditionally. And it's like, but as Christians, we have that superpower. Like, yeah. No, you don't. Shut up.
That's a good point, because when she does say that, Chloe, again, radical love bomb honesty is like, well, yeah, that's fair. I might be mad at you for killing a beautiful baby Antichrist. But God will love you unconditionally, and through him, we can learn to love you unconditionally.
I just think if Buck was, like, really ready to, like, be a mega Christian, he'd be ready to be the adopted father of the Antichrist.
I think that would be so sick, right?
Like, yeah, the little baby comes out with little devil horns and tail.
Your job.
And, like, that's baby Nick.
Is to raise a 5-year-old into the least evil 5-year-old ever. Good luck.
And again, sorry to be the person with the logic here, but shouldn't you guys just want her to have the abortion so the baby can go straight to heaven?
Boom.
Done.
Boom.
Send the Antichrist baby to heaven. Now what?
I mean, we have brought up that point before. Kill all babies.
Yeah, they should. if their logic is correct, they should do that. Heaven. Why do you want this baby to be born and suffer? Like, I don't get it.
Why don't they say, like, why doesn't Israel say, we're actually farming souls for heaven, baby heaven. Like, Joe Biden should be up there and like, hey, yes, just like, there's a lot of headless babies on the news. And I don't like that. But think about how many souls we sent to heaven. All right? Checkmate.
Well, a certain subset of the population would probably like that.
Yeah, that's better to be blown up baby head than raised in wherever.
So Chloe gives a big hug, and like, all the ladies are like, I don't know if they say this, but in my mind, they're all just like touching her shoulders, and like, they're pretending to send love energy, but they're actually sending waves of don't get an abortion, don't get an abortion, don't get an abortion.
When they get up to give her like coffee or take her plate, they like touch her elbow and like, oh yeah, the babies have elbows.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. So now we cut back over to Rayford, and he is in fully eavesdrop mode. He's like, he made an excuse, like, I gotta go to the cockpit and check on something.
I hope that we have enough time for someone to be like, our pilot sure is in the cockpit a lot.
He loves it in there. What's he doing, jerking off in there?
Hell yeah, brother.
He should pretend that he's jerking off and he's a freak, so they leave him alone. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't want to interrupt him while he's in there.
Off. Who knows the Bible.
What he's into. Yeah, he's reading the Bible and jerking off. So the super pope is like, listen, Carpathia, I need your debt forgiveness. And yes, it is partially because I have so many empty church buildings, but also because we have these two pesky groups that refuse to be part of Enigma Babylon Church. The Jewish people and evangelical or Christians, including the Jews who have converted to Christianity.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was interesting because it's a plot thing. It has to be this way, right?
Yes.
But, you know, I kind of assumed they would have vilified Muslims and been like, they ain't doing it either. Because they're part of the Abrahamic Three.
Well, but no, but they don't like Muslims, so they're exactly. like no, they just fell in line with the one exactly. Babylon, exactly. whatever. So that to me that tracks to me. The only other religious group that ever gets any like positive from evangelical Christians are the Jewish people.
Yes, yeah,
and that
yeah.
is only because they want them to convert to Christianity.
Right. They couldn't even make them like a third faction because they hate them so much.
Yeah.
And again, this is before 9/11.
Right. So maybe
not that invented Islamophobia, no, but definitely was a sea change in the popular media.
It super ramped up. And in fact, I am very curious to see what the Left Behind books written after 9/11.
Oh man,
are
what
like.
A gift for them. Jesus Christ.
Because some of them were. I don't know when the last one, I forget when the last one came out, but like we're at 1997 right now mm-hmm. with Nikolai. So given that there's like, I don't know, like 75 Left Behind books, like I feel like at least some of them gotta be after 2001. The Super Pope also says an interesting thing in here. Any religion that believes there's only one way to God is, by definition, intolerant.
Say it.
And this, again, I feel like in this time period, the, like, tolerance is a big no-no word to evangelicals. It's like a trigger word for them. Are you looking up when the last Left Behind book came out?
Mm-hmm. It almost looks like it's in alphabetical order, and I have no idea what's happening.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, wait, no, there it is. Oh, yeah, there's prequels? What's happening here?
I think I knew there were prequels.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. Next one's 1999. Apollyon is somehow also 1999. What the fuck? The other one must be 98. Assassins is 99. What the fuck? Can I not read? Indwelling is 2000.
Okay, so we're getting there.
Mark. Oh, God, if Mark came out, nope, also 2000. Dude, they released these twice a year.
They were cranking them out at this point because they knew, because I think this is when they started to get really popular. Because I remember it being like, oh my gosh, the next one's going to come out.
Desecration, Antichrist Takes the Throne, which is like, that's like a lot of words there. I love it. That one came out in October of 2001. So not enough time for September 11th.
But I'm saying, when did the last book in the series come out is what I want to know.
I just wanted to see like which one was probably written post 9/11.
Yeah.
The Remnant was written post 9/11. And I don't know if the last one's Glorious Appearing or Kingdom Come. Glorious Appearing was 2004.
Okay, so that's plenty of time to get some Islamophobia cranking.
And Kingdom Come, that's the one after God comes, but Jesus comes back.
That book's been so boring. There's no way it's not even boring.
Like I said before, I couldn't read it back in the day. That's 2007. That's a 4-year gap. I'm kind of curious why that is. Maybe
they're probably too busy cranking out like the teen books and like other prequels and shit at that point.
Selling bunker boxes.
They probably fucking were, man. The good news is that Carpathia has some ideas for how to deal with these groups that are causing problems and not just, you know, folding themselves into the greater one world religion.
Right.
Carpathia says,
conventional wisdom says you cannot legislate morale. I happen to not believe that.
He's like, RIP to them, but I'm different. I can make this happen. And to be fair, he is the Antichrist. So if anyone can do it, he can do it.
Because they're kind of building up this weird thing of like, hey man, those insurrectionists from earlier started a big bad war. They're enemies of the quote unquote the one world religion, one world government, all that stuff, global community. So it's probably also fair to assume that Christians and Jews are also enemies, and it's also probably fair given those two kooks. They're spreading this anti-global community message. So we gotta legislate morale, but in a fun way. Quirky.
So what he says is, I would like you to cooperate in forming and heading an organization of elite enforcers, if you will, of pure thought. The thought police? The thought enforcers?
Yeah, this is kind of crazy because it doesn't really make any sense. But you know they're like, we gotta get some secret police.
No, they love that shit. They love that shit. Yeah, they want to create a cadre of young, healthy, strong men and women devoted to the cause of the global community.
Yeah, I'm really shocked that Nikolai didn't drop, like, a blonde, strong chin. They're probably like, no, that's too much. That's not what we're doing
here. People with an ideal skull physiognomy or whatever that word is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, let's be, he's not getting into it now, but he wants to.
He wants to. But yeah, he wants them to be hot, for sure.
Yeah, so of course.
These global thought leaders are easily followable. Like, yeah, again, going to Hell World, like, he would pay TikTokers to be like, hey, rat out your teachers.
Yes, yes.
They read the Bible secretly and then push them down the stairs.
So, yeah, the Super Pope is like, these would not be uniform people, I assume. And then Nikolai responds,
no, they would blend in with everyone else, but they would be chosen for their insight and trained in psychology. They would keep us informed of subversive elements who oppose our views. Surely you agree that we are long past the time where we can tolerate the extreme negative byproduct of free speech run amok. This is gobbledygook.
This is so funny, because once again, the right wing is all like, we love free speech, blah, blah, blah. The left is hate free speech. Like, no, literally right now in America, like, they are sending fucking cops to university campuses where people are protesting what's happening in Palestine and putting, like, snipers on the roof and shit. Like, what are you fucking saying?
Yeah.
They only care about free speech when it's their speech. They just want their speech. And no one to ever say anything against it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hilarious to see it talked about in this way.
We're bouncing up against a boundary of logic and sense making where you just have to, like, take a deep breath and say this is a book written by Christians. And even though it doesn't make any sense, Nikolai is in fact the Antichrist.
Yes.
So he's going to say some wild shit. But I guess I just didn't remember how they casually made enemies of the states, like we knew it was going to happen. But the way he's just kind of like, they're annoying, but we should give them guns. it's crazy. It's nuts. It's so weird.
Yes, and they like literally, well, we'll get to that. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. My heart rate really literally just went up just now. I just got so mad. This crew is going to be called the Global Community Morale Monitors. I like that they're calling it morale and not like thought monitors or something. Well, because, I mean, that's the whole thing. They're using that, like, you know, newspeak, whatever.
Yeah, I think Nikolai says it best. We do not want to call them the secret police or thought police or the hate police or any kind of police.
Even then, they knew that the police is bad PR.
They will be able to supersede normal due cause in the interest of the better good for the global community. So, yeah, he's like, yeah, they're not going to be the SS or secret police. No, they're just going to be gun-wielding philosopher paladins.
Yeah.
For the Antichrist.
Yeah. And let's just, like, talk again about this conflation of, like, progressive left wing with, like, literal Nazi tactics. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a thing that happens a lot in, like, right wing, you know, like, rhetoric that I see. And I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's interesting.
So, yeah, and Carpathian explains then that, like, oh, yeah, we're going to give them weapons. Don't worry about it. They're not going to have uniforms, but they will have weapons. And they will be given ultimate capital power to mete out justice as they see fit.
Yeah, the A to B to Z
like,
in this conversation is like, Pope Matthews is like, God, these churches are so fucking expensive. Give me money, Antichrist Daddy. And he's like, what if in a couple months we give people guns to shoot Christians in the street? What do you think?
It's just, again, this is like a certain type of evangelical Christians, like, wet dream.
Yeah.
This is like, oh my God, they're up there trying to kill us.
Yeah. And we've said it before.
For being a Christian.
It's a stupid thing to say, but whenever they write Nikolai so evil, I'm like, guys, you're doing a pretty good job, right? Like,
but you have to remember, this is like in private. So he's doing it in private. He doesn't, like, this is only to the Super Pope.
Yeah. And the Super Pope is a huge piece of shit.
He's bad.
So it's not like a leap in logic. I'm like, my man Nikolai would figure out a better way to say this. That's what I'm saying.
He probably would, but I guess he just, in my mind, is that he doesn't need to cover anything up in this situation.
Yep.
Okay, we have to move on from this session because I'm getting too worked up.
Do you want a slurp of my seltzer?
I kind of do, actually. Thank you, seltzer. I feel so much better now. So now it's time for Hattie to go back, apparently 2-hour drive back to the Milwaukee airport.
It'd be sick if Ray and them lived south of Chicago. I'm sure they said it, but
Chicago heads, feel free to fill us in. I feel like
we looked it up one time, and I don't remember.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Back then, you could just drive.
And you love doing it. Mm-hmm. You love driving.
Midwest.
They love driving. That is true. That is one thing I have learned since moving to the Midwest is that people love driving here.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So Buck is kind of thinking to himself while they're taking Hattie back. Well, before they're about to take Hattie back to the airport, because he's splitting off from the group. Yeah. The ladies are going to take her back. And he's like, man, I kind of wish she'd had some bigger, like, breakthrough. I don't feel like this did anything.
Yeah.
But he also, more importantly, is like, man, I really hope that Chloe doesn't get it in her head to adopt this Antichrist baby, because I'm not trying to raise the baby of the Antichrist.
No, thank you.
Like, I mean, I do get that again. Like,
that's fair.
I mean, have you seen The Omen? Like, it's not fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we gotta watch The Omen. What if we watch The Omen later?
I'm too scared.
No, stop saying that. It's so good. It's not even scary. It's cool. It's a little Antichrist baby, and he's being so bad.
Oh, that sounds so scary.
So the ladies... While the ladies are taking Hattie to the airport in the rain, I'm actually a little confused about the timeline, because they specifically say that they take Hattie to the airport in the Range Rover, but then, like, Buck's in the Range Rover. So, like, how's Buck get to his office?
Whoa.
I think someone messed up here.
Whoa.
Or I misunderstood something.
There is a small time jump when we get to Buck explicitly.
Because what car is he driving? Because he goes, well, so now he goes to visit Zion in the bunker, but most importantly, he brings him a little fast food treat down there. What do you think Buck brought Zion?
I think a McDonald's chicken nuggets.
I think so this is 1997, so they still had double deckers at Taco Bell at the time. They probably had, like, the Enchirito and, like, a really good Mexican pizza. I mean, it's back. Mexican pizza's back now. It was gone for a while, so I'm just imagining, like, the most 1997 Taco Bell meal that's ever existed.
Beautiful. When it was good.
Yeah, I want it real. I mean, I'll still eat the hell out of that. Either that or, like, I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, what are funny fast foods for Zion Bendruda to be eating, like, in a bunker?
Pizza Hut personal pan pizza. Yes. Like a small one in there.
Yes.
Like, really stank that thing up.
Yeah, and he gets, like, a little side of ice cream.
Here, I know you're underground all day. I got you some Long John Silvers.
Oh, God. Make the bunker smell like fried fish. Disgusting.
Get out of here.
So, yeah, so he brings him some fast food. They hang out and talk a little bit. Zion ends up talking to Buck about his family, because Buck at first was like, I don't like necessarily want to bring it up. And Zion clarifies, like, listen, as long as you don't talk about how they were, you know, got their heads chopped off in the middle of the street, then I'm happy to talk about
them. Yeah, yeah. And it's like a very delicate, like, hey, I get it. People want to make sure that I don't get upset, but still, I like talking about my family.
Yeah.
The good times.
Yeah. So they talk about that for a bit, and then Buck brings up Zion, like, hey, man, I got to be real with you. I'm probably going to be joining you in this bunker soon, because I can't stop doing crazy shit and taking risks.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like, he knows that he's getting close to the end of the line of, like, where everyone's going to start to figure him out and what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's – I don't think they say it on the page last time. I don't really remember. But they basically are like, yeah, Buck now knows that Nikolai knows.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
So they do a little brainstorm here, and they're like, What if Book makes an online magazine and we called it Truth?
Whoa.
Just Truth.
I like, okay.
It's not a great title.
No, it sucks.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe try a little bit harder. This is a little lame and cringe, Book.
I did laugh that Book got excited about doing like the graphic design. So
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to bust out InDesign, Book? You're going to bust it out?
He loves the project. What can you say?
Of course, I'm sure he's good at InDesign too. Mm-hmm. He knows all the Adobe programs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this was before he had to pay a monthly fee for them.
Chapter 19.
So we're back with Rayford now. And he has found out, because everyone is abuzz at the Carpathia offices, that Hattie has pulled another fast one.
Hell yeah.
On Nikolai and did not take her planned connecting flight to Baghdad.
Yeah.
What is she up to?
Yeah, it's sometime later. Not entirely sure. Feels like 12 hours.
Yeah.
To some, you know, a little bit longer with, you know, where we get to the end of the chapter. Given how long it takes to fly from Boston to Baghdad.
And Rayford has a thought here that he's like, oh, maybe like Amanda like talked her out right. of it. And this is where he's like, I know she's trying to get her to not go to like a clinic to get an abortion.
Yeah.
So maybe Amanda's with her.
Because Hattie's like new itinerary kind of lines up with Amanda's, like, not one-to-one, but it's like, well, if they're probably going to be both on this
right.
airplane.
Right, because Amanda's also coming right. to back to New Babylon via Baghdad.
Because she lives there.
Yes, with Rayford.
And the Antichrist.
So now, Carpathia wants to meet with Rayford. This is insane.
This is so good. Crazy shit. Beautiful.
Carpathia meets with Rayford because he wants him to break up with Hattie for him. Mm-hmm. And he says,
the fact is, I believe Miss Durham always overestimated the seriousness of our personal relationship.
Like, oh, she's getting very clingy yeah. now that she's pregnant with
she's
my
pregnant.
Baby.
She has a wedding ring.
Well, an engagement ring, but regardless, an engagement ring. And Kirby's like, listen, I don't give a fuck if she has the baby. I'll give her money or whatever, but I'm not going to be a dad. Come on, let's be real.
He's like, I'm way too busy. It would be way too rude to the global community. I have so many deadlines, you see.
Yeah.
I have so many projects.
And then besides,
I have needs like any other man, Captain Steele. You understand. I would never commit myself to just one woman, King. And I certainly made no such commitment to Miss Durham. The fact is that I already have someone else with whom I am enjoying a relationship.
Who is this bitch? Who's this bitch?
I'm like, it's probably just his secretary again. He's a classic old school guy.
I just want it to be like a reveal, to be like someone interesting.
Fortune on his wife.
Something. I don't know, my brain was like, Vernazine. Wait, no, she's a lesbian. It wouldn't work. So I hope that we get tiny spoiler. We don't find out who this is. And maybe it's nobody. This is maybe me giving like too much credit to the book.
It's probably four people.
Well, that's true. He said he can't limit himself to just one woman.
Yeah.
So he's probably got – he's got hoes in different area codes all over the damn world.
Yeah.
He's probably got them on different floors of his damn headquarters.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. he's like, yeah, Rayford, do me a solid. Break up with my girl for me. Give him money or whatever. I don't fucking care.
She's so irrational. I it's not that I'm afraid to talk to her.
It'd be unpleasant, but I'm just too busy.
I'm just too busy. What can I say? I'm just too busy.
Okay, Nikolai, sure.
And this is the kind of Nikolai I was talking about back with Super Pope. He's smarmy. He's weird.
Yeah. He is kind of like not even pretending to be a good guy to Rayford.
Yeah.
Or maybe in his twisted Antichrist brain, he's like, well, this is logical. Like, I'm not going to like not give her money for it or whatever. She can do whatever she wants.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't demand she get an abortion.
No, not at all.
Isn't that what a good guy would do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like it's a wild ride where like Rayford will say something like, yeah, I'm sure she'll get support. Like, oh, yeah, Jesus, she'll have an apartment or whatever. And Rayford's like, I didn't say that. But I guess it's good. I don't fucking know what's happening.
Yeah. Ugh.
It's so funny.
So the Carpathia quickly moves on from getting Rayford to break up with his girlfriend before him.
And also, I do want to say before we move on to this next insane part is it was very clear that like Nikolai's like wasn't asking.
No, no, no.
Nor was he telling. No. He was doing a special third thing where Rayford had to intuit that he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And since he was a military man, he was going
to
do it.
Which is pretty beast of him, to be honest. Like, yeah, I'm going to make you make the connection and be like, so do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even have to say it.
I think
that's the power of the Antichrist.
Yeah, I think we've joked about the Antichrist sort of being a Colin Robinson type,
yes,
energy vampire, yes, but for like evil deeds. So just I just imagine his battery goes up by making, like, he makes Rayford so mad.
He really does. He's got to feel it. He's got to feel it. Like, I mean, well, and it, I think this next section, it becomes clear that he does know more about Rayford and his little family than they were hoping.
Yeah.
Which I guess Rayford at this point does know this because he's been eavesdropping.
Yeah.
But it hadn't come up yet.
Yeah.
So Carpe is like, okay, cool. Now that we've dealt with the Hattie thing,
we're both happy about this conclusion.
Let's move on. Mm-hmm. And why the fuck didn't you tell me that Buck Williams is your son-in-law?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, he kind of just comes out with it. It's like, so what's your relationship to Buck? And then beat, beat, beat. Ray's like, he's my son-in-law. I'm like, oh, okay. Is he, is Buck also a Christian? And Ray's like, hey, man, it's his business.
You have to ask him
you
that.
You have to ask him that. No big, no big whoop, my buddy.
And Nikolai's like, I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
Which is correct.
And then Nikolai says, I am not saying that this is necessarily a problem, you understand. I was just curious.
Yeah, right. That is not, like, just curious. That's never a good sign when someone says that as a person who will occasionally utilize that in, like, an argument. Not a good sign.
Yeah, and it even implies, like, that Rayford sees Nikolai smirk in a weird way.
He knows, like
Grinch style, like, I'm gonna kill that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, so that's starting to heat up a little bit right now.
Final chapter of a damn book.
Yeah, man. So there's some weird, like, back and forth here. So I'm jumping forward now to Rayford has left Carpathia's office and he is trying to set up, he needs to go pick up Amanda and maybe Hattie, like,
right,
a little confusing. So he tries to get a car, that doesn't work. And then he calls his, like, co-pilot buddy. He's like, man, can you fly the helicopter over here? I got to get to the airport.
I can't rent a damn car, so just get the helicopter for me.
Yeah.
But he also, like, does make a meeting with Carpathia.
Yeah, Carpathia asked him to come by his office.
That's
again.
True.
So I don't know which time. It's kind of weird.
It is
they
weird.
Meet, and then he leaves, and then he goes back
right,
to the office.
He can't rent a car from the pool because it wasn't approved beforehand. Good bureaucracy.
Well, also is that, like, he tries to call Hattie's driver, and the driver's like, I don't work for her anymore.
I work for this other bitch.
I work for this new bitch. So that's why the driver's like, okay, fine,
yeah,
fuck,
so,
I'll
so
figure out the helicopter.
It's really funny, like, how the contrivance to get Rayford with Nikolai
at
this point is Rayford didn't rent a car good enough.
Yeah, he has to take a helicopter, which is really sick.
And because, like, the whole thing is, like, he begs the secretary to Nikolai to go bother Nikolai to be like, can you, because the carpool man basically implies if Nikolai just says, just do it, then you'll
the
get a car immediately, right?
Yeah.
So all of that to say, he calls and then Nikolai's like, just come here.
Yeah.
Or like, whatever.
So yeah, so this is where, like, things are starting to go, the little quick back and forth I'm starting to keep because they become important to the timeline of what is about to happen.
This is extremely the version of the rapid back and forth that is building tension.
Yes.
And then once the tension is exploding, the chaos and woe.
Yes. So we cut back over to Buck now, and he, again, is back at the Global Community Weekly office. And again, I just want to point out that he does have the Range Rover here.
This is probably the next day.
Okay, maybe it's the next day. Yeah. I was just trying to get him. I was just trying
that
to
previous
catch him.
Thing. I mean, I don't know what cars they mentioned, but I assume they have other cars.
They talked about them driving in the Range Rover.
Usually, he'll just drop a quick, I borrowed Loretta's car. Because usually they say shit like that.
Yeah, but as we'll find out, we know for
sure. But this is a different day.
But I'm just saying we know Buck was definitely not. I mean, I know that he's not. But for reasons, he's definitely not using.
Well, now we know he has the Range Rover because he tells us.
I know, but I'm just making a little joke about what happens with Loretta's car.
I'm excited to talk about that because my mental image, I got confused by it.
Yeah. So he's working away in the Global Community Weekly office while he still can. This part cracked me up so bad. The machine signaled that he had incoming real-time mail. He liked this feature. It was like being on a chat line with one person.
Yeah.
I love to get mail electronically.
I had no idea what
call
the
it
fuck
email.
This means. Yeah, we had email back then.
It definitely did have email back
but
then.
But what this is Instant Messenger.
Is it Instant Messenger? I guess it is, because there's like a video thing. But it was weird because they bring up, basically, he starts talking to Zion in the bunker over this I guess it's instant messenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I assumed it was email, but I think you're right.
It's both instant messenger and Skype. I mean, obviously you can type in Skype, but that sucks.
Yeah. So they end up doing a video call, but with no sound. They're typing to each other.
Yeah.
While looking at each other's faces.
Yeah.
Which is,
and they do imply that he's able to do like speaking, right? It can be full on Zoom, but right now it's muted Zoom and just typing at each other,
so that people don't overhear what they're talking about.
Pervert shit.
It is pervert shit. But yeah, Buck's like, okay, Zion, I'll come over and visit you in the bunker. And he's like, maybe I'll pick up Chloe on the way. We'll try to distract we'll try to distract Loretta so she, because at this point, Loretta does not know that Zion is in a bunker under the church.
Can't trust her.
Yeah. As Buck is leaving, Verna sees him and tries to be like, where are you going? And he's like, bitch, I don't tell you anything.
Get out of
see
here.
Ya. So now, quick cut to Rayford. He is heading towards the Global Community Headquarters in Carpathia's office. And strange thing, he notices that all the dogs are barking.
Weird.
And acting so strange.
Oh, All the dogs are barking?
I wonder if anything weird is happening with Buck, who's driving towards the church and noticing there's a lot of weird roadkill.
And like birds flying.
And like snakes in like, the road.
Yeah, there's a whole section of like, I didn't even know we had snakes.
Yeah. So they're both like on essentially opposite sides of the world. So mm-hmm. Like, what's going the fuck? On here?
This is like Jumanji.
Rafer makes it to the office, and he starts to talk to starts to be like, well, you know, Carpathia, why did you want me to come by here? Mm-hmm. But Fortunato interrupts the conversation by saying one of the most, like, movie-ass lines ever. Yeah.
Perfect.
We're getting some strange readouts on our power meters. That's how, like, every movie in the, like, late 90s, early 2000s started. That was, like, about, like, a volcano or, like, a tornado or an earthquake or something like that.
And the, like, 1-2 punch of the emergency call comes in from an international seismograph institute.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, from Rayford's point of view, there's several people in the room. Nikolai is clearly, like, agitated because things are weird. And he's getting, like, called by three different places. And Rayford's like, I just want to get I got a helicopter now. I don't need the car.
Yeah, like, I didn't really even need to come by here. I just came here because you asked me to. And Rayford starts to be like, oh, shit. This is it. This is the big one.
This is the damn lamb.
This is the damn lamb that's happening. And he calls – I forget whoever the guy is.
I'm going to say McDougal. It's not that.
It's like McCollum or something. Yeah. Whatever. The other pilot. Mm-hmm. He calls it to be like, hey, I want to come towards you. Let's get that helicopter going.
Yeah.
And he
– Thank God he called him earlier.
Yes, to get it ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Rafer would have been fucking dead, as we will see. And yeah, as he is calling the helicopter pilot, the power goes out and the sky goes completely dark.
Yeah, there's like a couple stages. It's weird because the power goes out even before the intense rumbling happens.
Yes.
And I'm almost like, God did that. God's like, get fucked.
Maybe.
And then like Ray's on his cell phone and Nikolai's like, bro, I'm trying to fucking talk to you.
Yeah.
And then Leon's like, but he's like, shut the fuck up. And then the lights go out and everyone starts screaming. Like, and then Nikolai's like, can I get some silence, please? This is a very chaotic atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then it almost implies like it gets even darker because it's like power goes
lights.
Out.
Yeah.
And then from the windows, it goes dark.
The sun goes dark.
And then there's like generator red lights. So it's like terrifying
Scary. Inside.
And then Rafer's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And Nikolai's like, bro, I was fucking talking to you. And then
Rafer's like, bye, I'm already gone.
And
I'm
at
running.
This point, they start feeling it shakes. It's like shaking now. Like, woo.
So I can't remember if they like clarified where Carpathia's office is. Because they probably find out that it's an 18-story building.
They described how weird it is because like his office is like on the penthouse.
So it's the top. He is at the top.
And there's like his meeting area, but it's also completely surrounded by residential areas.
Mm.
It's like mixed use zoning, but like
in one building.
In one building to kind of like house the vanity of the Antichrist.
Yes. So they are at the top, which is important because they run. So Rafer starts running up to the roof because he knows the helicopter is there and he notices that Carpathia is running right behind him.
Yeah, he like gets bumped in a way and he's like, what the fuck?
And Rafer runs to the helicopter, jumps in. Carpathia jumps in right behind him and is immediately like, go, don't wait for anybody else. And there's like people running for the helicopter who like grab onto the feeties of the helicopter as it's lifting off.
Yeah, at this point, I'm like, is our main man, Leon Fortunato, gone for good?
Oh, he might be
fuck. But yeah, like it's
no, I'm going to miss him. He needs a new stooge.
Yeah, classic, you know, disaster movie shit. They jump on the little feats of the helicopter, and Nicolay's like, get the fuck out of here.
It's probably like fucking kicking them. And
oh, yeah, for sure. It slams the door shut. It's like, oh, I guess this helicopter had – helicopters do have doors. I'm thinking of action movie helicopters, not
– they're just open to air. Yeah. No, this is for like presidents and such. Yeah, so exactly. It's a fancy one.
Yeah, so they lift off, and at this point, this is when shit starts to get even worse somehow.
As Rayford watched in horror, the entire 18-story building, filled with hundreds of employees, crashed to the ground in a mighty roar and a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a big earthquake. It's the big one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. It goes from dogs to no power to a little wobble to goodbye.
It just, well, because it's just like it, the sense that I get is just so violent.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, it's so violent. Everything starts to collapse. And like, again, like this is so action movie. They like get in the helicopter and get it going like right as everything starts to collapse.
People are falling off the helicopter.
You can see them like being drugged down through the collapsing building.
Yeah, because again, there's many people that were still on the roof that didn't get anywhere near.
Yeah.
And like, what the fuck do we do? And then, they just fall.
And Rayford is like, obviously, I mean, you know, he knows that this is the Antichrist he's dealing with, but he's like, oh my god, we could have saved some of these people. Like, what the hell, man?
Right. He's getting very angry.
he gets real mad. On the other side of the world, Buck is also realizing what is going on, because he's like, oh shit, this is gonna be it. I gotta start driving real fast. Was he trying to go to Loretta's house or to the church?
He's trying to go to church.
Okay.
But remember, because like he makes it overly complicated so that he can keep your plan simple, folks. He wanted to maybe try to get lunch with Chloe and Zion, but that would take too much effort. So he was like on his way to the church while kind of waffling about what the plan was. Because he's like, Loretta's most likely going to be at the church. Chloe might be at the church, but
we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So Buck starts driving fast, being like, all right, this is about to go down. I got to make it to the church. And the big damn earthquake starts.
Ruh-roh.
And Buck has got to start immediately doing some like stunt driver shenanigans to avoid falling into a crevasse.
Yeah.
They go into like way more detail. I wasn't going to like explain like every single thing that happened, but just like imagine the earth is just like explode, like rippling all around him. And thank God he's got that Range Rover.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it's a disaster, Buck's going to be in a name brand Range Rover.
Yes.
Or I guess whatever Vernazzi's shitty ass car was.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. Like, what should we have Buck do? Like, I don't know, drive like a maniac?
Drive like a stuntman.
Cut curbs, run red lights, shit like that. And yeah, it's disaster movie as hell, where like he sees like the sidewalks go like 10 feet up in the air. He sees like an entire house just like sink into the ground.
Shit's
on fire everywhere. And he doesn't see the rift in the Galdern road, and he falls in the crevasse and he has to like go sicko mode to get out, and it's so funny.
I was having a hard time understanding what was going on, which is partially why I guess I didn't put super detailed notes for what happened, because I was like, it's chaos. Like,
it's chaotic, it's frenetic. I do think they don't do the best job at explaining it, but they do capture the chaos.
The word picture has been painted. Yeah. I will give them that. Like, I didn't understand necessarily, like, I didn't quite visually picture every single thing that they were saying, but I get the picture.
Yeah, it's not important either, right? Because it's like,
shit's bad. That's all you need to know. Huge earthquake. Everything is rocking and dropping into the earth.
Right. The words on the page by the great bard are meant to elicit a reaction.
Yes. And they did that. Mm-hmm. They did do that. Now we're back with Rayford and Carpathia as they are being helicoptered to the Baghdad airport, and they're surveying the chaos on the ground there as well. Tim, can you read this?
Okay, sure. Fires had broken out all over the place. I thought that was a weird sentence. Like, it's not a very good sentence.
I would definitely do some editing and some cleaning up of this if I were involved, but thank God I wasn't.
They illuminated car crashes, flattened buildings, the earth roiling and rolling like an angry sea. what appeared a huge...
Yeah, this was this like few sentences are written really weird. Where yeah. I had to be like, "This is like Dear Internet. Is this what it says?" Yeah, it really is. It's like reading someone's Reddit post.
Yeah,
it's
this one felt like I remember for sure this exact paragraph being like, "You guys should take another crack at this."
Yeah, this one needs a little more help.
What appeared a huge? Is it as a huge?
No, like well, maybe it was a typo. But yeah. I like because I was like, "Don't like what?" Okay. I think they were saying what appeared to be a huge ball of gasoline fire caught his eye.
Yeah. What appeared a huge ball of gasoline fire caught his eye. There, hanging in the sky, so close to it, it seemed, he could touch it, was the moon. The blood red moon.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, so it's dark outside. Not entirely pitch black, but kind of. They say pitch black a few times, but they also imply that they can see. And then the blood red moon happens, and it completely casts everything in an insane light. And it's only going to get worse.
Now, I have a question just now.
Hmm.
What time of day is it in these two locations?
Oh, brother.
Because they are pretty far apart. Like, I think that that's at least like 11
they actually
hours
say
or
it,
so.
Because they talk about Amanda getting to do teleconference shit. It's like 9 or 13 hours different.
Because I also am like, wait, how's the moon out when the sun is
let's assume
out?
That Ray is at night.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess, because the moon's out.
Yeah, and then...
Again, like, I do think it's, like, sometimes it's like, yeah, the shitty book doesn't make sense. Like, you know, like, I'm just, like, truly trying to understand what's going on right now.
No, you're right. I didn't really even think about that, because in my mind,
it just occurred to me.
2 p.m. in both places on the opposite side of the planet.
No, I was, like, literally, like, envisioning them both as being the day. I'm like, wait, I don't think that's, like, possible.
Yeah.
Unless it's, like, super early in the morning. But it's not, because they're talking about lunch. Like, they're talking about, so it's, like, middle of the day in Chicago.
Yeah, let's say 9 p.m.
So it's got to be, like, it's got to be nighttime. It's got to be nighttime.
Yeah. Sure.
Whatever. Again, big shock. The shitty book doesn't make sense. So, yeah, so they see the blood red moon. And then Rayford thinks to himself, Carpathia seemed to stare at it in wonder. It illuminated his face in its awful red glow. And the man had never looked more like the devil.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby. Heavy metal guitarist.
He is, I would give $1 million to be inside Nikolai's mind right now of like, holy shit.
Like, this is so sick.
Cause like,
I bet I look so cool right now.
Nikolai can do magic and he knows it and he does magic.
Yes.
And the rapture happened and the things in the Bible are happening and those two kooks at the wall keep shooting fire out of their mouths, mm-hmm. and when people shoot at them, nothing happens. And then this happens.
This is a world of magic.
This is a world of magic. What is he thinking? I mean, he's obviously a sociopath narcissist. He's like, this is all about me. And it is, Nikolai.
Well, it literally actually is, yeah, because he is the Antichrist. But this is where I'm like, they should rewrite, I think I've already made this joke, they should rewrite the Left Behind books in the same style as Twilight Midnight Sun mm-hmm. from the viewpoint of the Antichrist the whole time. Because I want to know what's going on in his brain. Because I don't, again, he's not like fully Satan at this point. I don't know what he knows.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. It gets more and more confusing as like the everyday layman has to come up with weird reasons not to become a Christian. The fucking Antichrist with magic and shit like that has to be like, man, am I really the Antichrist? Is it good to be the Antichrist?
I guess or I like, am the Antichrist.
RIP to the Antichrist in the Bible, but I'm different yet again. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm gonna be
it's
the good Antichrist. I'm gonna do it right. So, blood red moon, Nikolai's horrible face bathed in red like the damn devil, and then a meteor shower starts happening. So, just again. Fucking chaos. So I guess it must be at night there. So the moon is out and a meteor is happening.
That's true because Buck describes...
Wait, though. No, because they said it turned dark. The sky turned dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I gotta start harping on this, but I'm just...
They might have, like, thrown a line of, like, the light of the moon that is not out anymore. I don't remember.
Anyway.
But they do make a point and say, for Buck's point of view, the meteor is different.
Yes.
And, you know, do you still call it a meteor shower if it's literally crashing into the earth?
I think so.
Because I know, like, meteorite, meteoroid, and shit like that are technically different.
Oh, that I don't know about, but I would think it is. Regardless. Well,
that's what we're calling it.
Meteors are falling from the sky.
Yeah.
So I think.
Literally flaming balls of fire.
Meteors are falling from the sky.
It's insane.
While a crazy earthquake is happening, and the moon is blood red.
Yeah, and throughout all of this, Ray is like, there's no fucking way that these people are going to live. And I hopefully, like, as I get closer to Baghdad, then maybe we get some good news. But God, please, like, kill my wife in a nice way.
Yes, him and Buck both have the, like, well, if my loved one's going to die, I hope it's fast. And I'll see him on the other side.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it's so bad. They're just like, I don't see how people are going to survive this.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few ways that people are going to be able to survive this. Speaking of Buck, let's cut back over to him, where he is continuing to drive through the earthquake, and he sees that the heavens are open.
Yeah.
Monstrous black and purple clouds rolled upon each other and seemed to peel back the very blackness of the night. And, oh my God, and then the meteors start coming out, and the meteor literally lands beside Buck's door.
Yeah.
in his car. So hot that it melted the windshield and made Buck unlatch his seatbelt and try to scramble out the right side.
And fucking crazy.
This car has been through some shit.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to get another Range Rover.
Built. Yeah, at this point, like, how are you gonna get so many Range Rovers, man? They even talk about car dealership that you're driving by get swallowed up.
Yeah, they're gonna have some problems with that now, because everything on the damn ground is not in good shape.
Yeah, there was, I think, some definite, like, prophecy style wording here, where, like, the sidewalk or some other rocks get shot up.
100%.
And people are, like, running around, like, crazy, because obviously, duh. That's
like, what do you do? Like, yeah, whole earth is, like, exploding.
Right, and they said they literally were hiding underneath the rocks, and they got crushed, which I believe is, like, a direct word-for-word thing from...
Yes, it is.
...the Beeble. So they had to put that in there. But yeah, like, people just, like, stumbling, covered in blood, confused.
Gaping wounds.
Fires everywhere. And just house upon house upon restaurant upon car dealership.
All of it.
Flattened, crushed, exploded.
Yeah.
Eaten. Fucking crazy.
A middle-aged man, shirtless and shoeless and bleeding, looked heavenward through broken glasses and opened his arms wide. He screamed to the sky, "God, kill me! Kill me!" And as Buck slowly bounced past in the Range Rover, the man was swallowed into the earth.
Kill me, brother. Kill me, God. Yeah, this one was interesting because, like, I bet that's in the Bible too. Is like they'll ask God.
Oh,
to kill
I'm pretty
them.
Sure it is. Yeah.
But I'm like, why would you do that? Do you not believe in God? Do you believe in God and you're scared?
I think you're like, yeah, take me out, man. This sucks. I don't want to be in this anymore.
You're most scared of earthquake soldiers. Ready for these battles.
That would be me in this world. Like, when a bad thing happened, I'd just be like, take me now.
Yeah, they'd have to hide.
And I would have already killed myself.
Yeah, they'd have to hide all the knives and.
Yeah.
Yeah. All safety scissors all the way around. It's like, oh, it's the rapture. I gotta go. Like, no, stop. Stop doing that.
So now, cut back to Rayford. And again, he's watching all the chaos from the helicopter. And this is where he has this thought of, like, he'd be kind of sick if this helicopter fell from the sky and killed all of us inside of it, including the Antichrist.
Yeah. But... The Antichrist can't die.
Well, yes, and Tim, can you read this other thought that he has?
The irony was, he knew Nikolai Carpathia was not due to die for yet another 21 months, and then he would be resurrected and live another 3.5 years.
Have they said that yet in these books, that he's going to be resurrected?
I think they've said it before.
They haven't really gone into it, though. Just for all of you listening at home, FYI, in case you didn't know, the Antichrist is going to die, but he will be brought back.
Right, that's why we're saying he's not the devil now.
He's not the devil yet. He only becomes the real devil once he dies and comes back.
Once he's indwelt.
Indwelt with the damn devil. So Buck makes it to the church, but it is not looking good.
Yeah. The closer he got to the church, the emptier he felt in his heart. That steeple was the only thing standing. Its base rested at ground level.
And I think that's interesting because they, like, kind of, like, have a whole point of bringing up, like, oh, the steeple's, like, the only, like, original part of the church.
Oh,
like,
I forgot about that.
And the steeple is still standing.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. But more importantly and unfortunately, Buck goes to the parking lot and sees that in a crater, there's a car. And sticking out from under the car are two legs. Guys, it's Loretta.
R.I.P. Loretta.
R.I.P. Loretta. They should have just told her Zion was under the church. It didn't even matter.
Yeah.
It didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, why are they going to kill her, like, make a big deal of not telling her, and then they just fucking kill her at the end?
Well, they didn't know she was going to die. I think...
But why would the writers of the book do that? Like, why did they make it a whole big thing when it didn't even matter?
Because you got to keep consistency.
Ugh,
you know?
Stupid. They should have told Loretta.
And they wanted to make it a bigger deal. Like, oh, look at this. Loretta, she stood up, had her moment. She's going to be... Nah, she's going to join the tribulation for it. Nope.
No,
she gets crushed.
No, she did.
Like the Wicked Witch of the West.
I, like, literally imagine her little curly feet.
I couldn't even figure out how this happened. Like... Obviously, it's a...
great point. How did this happen?
It's a monstrous earthquake where it's possible that she got out of her car and the car is thrown up in the air and landed on her.
I almost was like, did she... Because I think my brain assumed, like, she crawled under it for protection.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that doesn't make a lot of
sense. That seems like the worst thing to do in an earthquake.
Yeah,
I don't know anything. Is that, like, a thing?
I mean, I know in earthquakes, like, aren't you supposed to, like...
Climb a tree.
No, I actually don't know what you're supposed to do in an earthquake, which we should probably look that up.
You're supposed to be in a door frame, right?
But I thought that wasn't. I thought that was for... I thought it was, like, that used to be what they
said. Under your desk.
Yeah, I think you are supposed to get under things, actually.
So, underneath your car? Is that what
maybe. I don't know. So, just as Buck recognizes and confirms that it's Loretta, the sun comes back out and everything looks normal again. So, the Wrath of the Lamb is over. Buck is able to, like, get over to the wreckage of the church and, like, yell down.
Mm-hmm.
And Zion's able to be like, I'm okay down here. and he's like, I'm gonna get you out, buddy, mostly because I need your help to find Chloe.
Yeah, things are quite unchill. Online says it is not safe to be under the car no matter what.
Okay, well, Loretta, you made a bad choice.
Yeah.
Maybe it did just fall on her.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, though.
Because it was like the car's flat and underneath the car are legs. And I was like, okay, they're going to explain how this happened. Like, no. But again, it's a trampoline world of boiling dirt and stone and pipes. Like, it's just as likely that she was thrown out of the fucking building and landed as her car also was thrown in the air.
Yeah, honestly, who knows?
Crazy
who
shit. Knows?
So, now let's cut back.
Into the bunker, obviously, built Range Rover Tough.
Yeah, I was about to say built Ford Tough.
I want to hear Zion's being like, that was crazy down there.
What did it feel like under there?
Whoa.
Ooh, spooky.
It's like the damn sub.
He needs to be careful. Like, I mean, like, how are they going to come out of there?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume they'll just dig and find the hallway hole. It kind of imply he was getting close to it, but...
I also think it's funny and interesting. Well, because I was about to say, like, oh, they set up the whole, like, internet shit, but that was in the steeple, which is survived.
Well, he did explicitly say that the connection got ripped out.
Right, but they can fix that. Like,
yeah.
If, like, the stuff up there is saved, they can, like, get a new cord or whatever.
It's, like, for them, it's, you know, back to ground zero, you know, step one type shit.
Yeah.
But... It's such, it's what they've been saying is going to happen. It's such a massive earthquake that, like, how do they bounce back from this? I'm almost like, does the next book start 6 months later?
Right,
where they're like, this sucks.
We dealt with it. It was pretty bad.
And then they're
like,
for a few weeks, it was like this. The death toll climbed to the blah.
I mean, that would make sense to me.
Because, I kind of forget which of the trumpet bowls, whatever we're in right now, that... claim a quarter of the population.
Well, this definitely feels like it's going to claim a quarter.
And this feels like it's a second quarter.
My God, the thunder. It's thunder outside, guys. It's happening. It's happening.
I'm getting out of my damn car.
We got to get out of this desk.
It definitely feels like between the war, because we kind of bundled the war with the famine and plague.
Yes.
Because they kind of just like yada yada that one. And this one seems different. And they do say it. It just kind of gets confusing, right? Like, I bet... It's spelled out at one point in the book, and they start talking about, like, all the other ones, so. I'm confused, but I bet this kills one-fourth of the planet. I would not be surprised.
Oh, at least. Like, this is crazy. I don't know how anyone, like, survives this.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, maybe not that many people. No, I think they did say before about 25% of people might die from the war.
Yeah.
So.
It's definitely not good.
This is not good. 25% feels... low for a worldwide earthquake.
Yeah, because like, and in fact, let's cut to Rayford, because he specifically is thinking, like, the only way that Amanda and Hattie are going to be okay is if their plane hadn't landed yet.
Yeah.
Because they make it to the Baghdad airport, and it's just fucked.
It's like, fucked.
The planes that are on the ground are all twisted and fucked up. It's bad. It's really not good.
God.
That
must be so scary.
So scary. Once they land, Carpathia's immediately like, do you guys have a cell phone I can borrow? And Rayburn is just like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. He is so mad. He unbuckles Carpathia's seatbelt for him and like grabs him by the collar and throws him out of the helicopter on his ass, which is pretty bold.
That was so sick.
Yeah, this is Rayford having, like, dad anger and, like, dad strength to do this.
Should we just say the most badass line ever?
Well, this one?
Yeah.
I would like you to read it.
Nikolai, you can explain this away any way you want, but let me be the first to tell you, you have just seen the wrath of the Lamb.
And then he does the, like, suck it motion three times.
Yeah, but he literally slams him up against the helicopter, sneers in his face, and then after he says it, like, Carpathia's like, whatever.
Yeah, he just, like, shrugs, like, and this is why the Antichrist is the goat, because he's like, whatever, man.
Whatever.
I'm just chilling.
I guess it must be some part where he's in slight denial about being in a war against capital G God, but there is, like, a vibe of, like, judge a warrior by his enemies type shit. And I guess at this point, I would be like, if God's trying to kill me and I'm still here, I'm kind of cool.
I can't die. If you can.
You can, and you will.
Rayford does one last shove to Carpathia against the side of the helicopter, and then he starts walking towards the airport terminal. And the final line of the book, he prayed this would be the last time he had to search the body of a loved one in the rubble.
Damn.
And that's fucking it, guys.
Yeah.
Well, except for the epilogue, which, should we read the epilogue?
Sure.
I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this is – so the epilogue is literally just Revelation chapter 8 verses 1 through 6. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Damn.
So we ain't even gotten to the trumpets yet.
Yeah.
They're about, that shit's about to happen.
Yeah, these like the sealed ones.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's hardcore. Because this was the part where heaven is quiet. So this must be, like, all of this together counts for, like, heaven just being like, damn, you fucked them up.
It's so bad that the angels were like, oh, dude, that's crazy.
Because I don't feel like before they said, or maybe I was just reading too much into it, thinking about my good friend Wormwood, that I don't think they knew there was going to be a meteor shower or whatever
at this
storm.
Moment. Because I think this is going to happen again. I think more meteors are going to happen.
It's like asteroids and shit.
Yeah. So guys, we finished Nikolai.
Woo!
The next book is called Soul Harvest.
Let's go.
Do you want me to read the little description?
Please.
Of what Soul Harvest is? The world takes sides. As the world hurtles towards the trumpet judgments and the great soul harvest prophesied in scripture, Rayford Steele and Buck Williams begin searching for their loved ones from different corners of the world. Soul Harvest takes you from Iraq to America, from 6 miles in the air to underground shelters, from desert sand to the bottom of the Tigris River.
Yo.
From hope to devastation and back again. All in a quest for truth and life.
That whips.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
I wanted to compare the final lines. I think in my brain, the you've experienced the wrath of the Lamb bitch was bigger in my mind, but still the energy is there.
Yeah,
the last chunk. The final line of Left Behind is, the task of the tribulation force was clear, and their goal nothing less than to stand and fight the enemies of God during the seven most chaotic years the planet would ever see. Beautiful way to set up the series, I think, right?
I mean, they do a pretty good job of making, like, the ends of the books. Like, damn, I gotta read the next one.
Damn. And then of the previous one, that was pretty sick. This one's legally better based off the final line. I'll read the paragraph before just to get some setting. Oh, no, he whispered. And Chloe and Amanda began to cry. The three of them rushed to meet Rayford and walk him back to the car. This is when they found out they saw Ray, who just saw dead Bruce.
Yeah.
In the final actual line, which is whips, the red horse of the apocalypse was on the rampage.
That was really
that
sick.
That was really sick.
I do like that now we've ended two books with a death.
Yeah, I mean, killing Loretta feels a little, I don't know, hack. But
they had to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know that Amanda's alive. We don't know.
We really don't.
We don't know if Hattie's alive, right? We don't know if that's like...
I am so curious what is up with Hattie and where she is. Because that's the whole thing. We don't even know where she is right now. We have no idea. No one knows where she is.
As we've mentioned many times, our memories of things are quite spotty. I remember more about the guy that is Asian and is forced to get the mark of the beast.
I don't remember anything about
it. And that. Buck fighting on a wall. Then what happens in between those? And those like 7 books worth of shit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then there's cool scorpions, obviously.
Oh my God. I cannot wait till we get the scorpions.
Oh my God. They're so cool.
So yeah. Just a reminder. People think this is going to happen.
Yep.
People think that this is going to happen soon.
Yeah. And keep that in your mind as things get crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. And like Jennifer said, like at the beginning of the podcast, meaning when we started to now, there's so many dog whistle-y type New World Order shit that it's just a rich, soggy bun of just, I'm going to say another word, milieu of right-wing talking points and religious gumbo.
A slurry.
What other words can we get? A millet. I don't think that counts, but
yeah,
it's quite enlightening and interesting. And I got to tell you, like, fun to read, except for that one weird paragraph. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Sometimes I need another pass on the writing.
Yeah. And I really, really, really want to start the next book.
So I think we're going to have to like get into it soon. Because
I feel like this is how they're going to do it, right? They start.
Get me.
They start the fucking horses or bulls or trumpets. And then they tell you like later what actually happens because things are so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Mamma mia.
Wow. Well.
Well.
Book three, done
and dusted. We said we are going to try to take less of a break this time since we had a few accidental breaks.
Mm-hmm. I want to read the next book. So.
Let's do it now. Let's go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. Between books is a good time to think on doing special episodes. We didn't do any between one and two due to scheduling conflicts,
yeah,
but here we are.
I think we're due for another time of reading through my old journals again.
Absolutely.
That's got to happen. We're probably due for a movie watch. I really need to make you watch The Omen.
Okay.
Guys, bully Tim. Make him watch The Omen with me. The old one.
I was joking with the Naruto Revuto crew that like, it's like, oh, we're so close to being done with Naruto Revuto. And they / we do a movie night every month. I was like, well, since we're so close, might as well just let Naruto have its final last time to shine.
So you guys can continue watching Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
And Trek, I believe.
Yep. We got to finish our story. And obviously we can do two, but like it was just more of like a poetic end of a Naruto thing. But life has been absolutely brutal to various members of the cast.
It's so tough.
Yeah. Like I joked about, like I only canceled on my end one of our recordings. We missed like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And like other people were canceling recordings on other podcasts. It's tough out there.
It's hard. It's hard to live in the world. But yeah, I do want to do more like movie, like watch along things. Mm-hmm. A thing that I was jokingly wanting to make the Naruto podcast folks do, but maybe I'll make it happen, is like, I want to make Tim watch Real Housewives. It has nothing to do with this podcast, but maybe just for our Patreons.
I think
it'd be funny. I need to make Tim watch the Dinner Party from Hell episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because it's cinema, it's art.
I've seen enough of it.
It's important. Nope, you've not. You need to see more.
Well, you know, the Patreon is not just for Tribulation Fires,
right.
But it's the reason why we're able to do this, obviously. And without it, we probably would not be able to justify the time. Patreon.com/contenthole. We have a lot of different wonderful contents from bonus episodes to ad-free versions of this show. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for your support. Thank you for tossing us at $6.66
my
monthly.
Sickos out there. Yeah,
we love you, our little sickos. And yeah, hopefully we'll get ourselves together and get this one going again soon because I'm feeling it.
I'm stoked.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at TribFarsPod or on Instagram at TribFarsPod. We don't go on Instagram.
I don't like it there.
You can shoot us emails at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. As I've said before, it's a really great like way to message privately about, you know, because religion is weird,
yes.
and tough to talk yes. about, especially when trauma's involved or politics and things of that nature. So it's always enlightening to get all of your emails. We expressly don't share a lot of them due to the content therein.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that. That's tribulationfarce@gmail.com. All right. Well, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.